Why don't we open up to Ephesians 5th chapter. How many has noticed a change that seems to be coming our way? And of course the devil's kicking, but the other part, the other change. And you know what it is? It's the prayer center is becoming more and more a family, not a religion. So all my life serving Him, I've never felt anything like this. Preaching the meetings, traveling all over. The church in the earlier days. There's a lot of excitement. But that was generally God to us and what He's doing for us. But never hardly what people were doing for each other and things. And I don't mind telling you, I'm excited because when you see something like that, I don't know if you know this or not, that's not common. It's just not real common. So, some things belong to Him. And all the glory is one of those things. And I tell you what I found out about private worship and things is that whatever it is you're going through, it's a ferocious sustaining power. Ferocious, boy. So stand up. It's a great day. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's a great day. Lift those hands. Hey, you're alive. You got a commission in front of you, and it's a great commission. What a good day to be alive. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a generation to pass through. I mean, He saved you for the last. Hallelujah. Think about it.
Did He know when I was going to be born?
He did. You didn't. But He did. Hallelujah. So think about it. Think about what you get to do. Glory be to God. At a time when information is at your fingertips, entire translations, Bible, never has the Word been so available in every form, extended, Greek, you name it. There's nothing that can hide from us now. But when I need to know something, I get a kid with a computer. And because of the abundance of my revelation, Paul said, that you talk about an abundance now. Boy, we live in a time when we can know anything, but there's nothing hid that produces what it needs for us to get what we need. We can get the information, we can have it. Think about it. What a time. What a time. So throw those hands up. Father, I worship You and glorify You with all my heart. Magnify, extol, I exalt You. I bless the day that You saved me. Oh, Father, I glorify and magnify and lift You up with all my heart. With all my heart. Thank You, Father. I know that You love me. That I love You. I know. So we give You the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody says, everybody says, amen. So I kind of want you to cross the aisles and give somebody a hug and greet them for being alive or something. Hallelujah. Well, that chapter's open on worship. How many knows there's been a lot of talk lately about fasting and worship and, as you'd call them, the tools, the keys that God administered a proclamation about don't say the first quarter of this year on fasting. That he'll let us know when anything changes. Meanwhile, stay on a schedule. If at all possible. So we've preached on all the different kinds of fasting, some series fasting. And now there's people that say this. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lock myself up and fast. I used to just praise the day I'd be off my job so I could accomplish my first long fast. You don't know how many years that took me. I thought that the fight would be over when I got to go to a room and lock myself in. My God, you know who I ran into? Me. I couldn't get away either. I tried to get away and I couldn't get away from me. It was horrible. I wished I was hoeing, shoveling, doing something. Get my mind off of it. Finally, I broke down my first longer fast. I just laid on the bed numb. Then Rosalie, she went to Paris with some doctor friend, and wanted to see Paris. And I said, what a perfect time for that lock-up
long fast I've been wanting to do.
Then we made a pact. I would not break it without calling her. I called all of France. No, I couldn't get a hold of her. So I kind of started begging a little bit in the airport. It didn't do any good. You've got to know Rosalie. And so finally I go on this fast and I couldn't break it because I promised her. But boy, that lockup didn't last long. Pretty soon I crawled out on the bed and turned the TV on and watched it for 22 days. I had to keep my mind on it.
How can you remember 22 days?
Because the 22nd day, something broke. I was okay. Something broke and I gained a control over something. I was okay. So the next one wasn't quite as hard. But I don't think I've ever had one you just skittle through with no difficulty. Well, I tell you what, you think I'm going to just go stay home from all the services and blah, blah, and lock myself up in a room. And if you're graced to have that kind of time, trust me when I say you don't know what you're getting into. You like being locked up with a wild beast? Well, when he says things in Isaiah, 58 about fasting, and this is the fast I've chosen, you undo the heavy burdens and set the captives free. And he gives quite an impressive list what it will do, and it's the one Jesus actually went on and came out of the fasting in the wilderness and proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord, which is in the 50th year Jubilee when all the captives were set free. And he says, I've come to declare that. And that was right after his fast. But Isaiah 58 was a copy of the fast he went on. It was not only for him, but us. And there's one statement in there where he says, you hide not yourself from your own flesh. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? That you hide not yourself from your own flesh. You know, set the captives free and down there to cast out. And then all of a sudden he just throws that in there, that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. So I'm trying to analyze it through the word I know. And I said, well, look, it says here you're supposed to wash your face and not appear to people as for your fasting. So is that what you mean? Don't hide yourself from your own flesh? Oh, wait. Well, what are you supposed to do? Tell your wife, said, well, I'm going to go lock myself up. What, I'm not supposed to hide from them? What in the world does this mean? Did you find out? Oh, yes. When he said that you hide not yourself from your own flesh, the day you decide to fast is the day. It is the day that whatever is keeping you from moving forward, you have decided to quit hiding from it. Is not this the fast he's chosen? That you hide not yourself, see, from your own flesh. And trust me when I say there's no place you can hide. It will find you. Well, I said that about fasting. Then I Gary, you know, unveiled it as the scourging post. And it is. It is. You're going to face just about anything that's of the flesh that wants to stop you. Eventually, you'll face it somewhere in that fast, because it will uncover it. In my first few fasts, Rosalie asked me, are you going to go away to fast? And I said, no, this time I think I'll fast at home. She says, no, go. Part of the time, you might not be yourself. One guy was fasting and he yelled at his wife a lot while he was fasting. She says, he's normally not like that. She says, he said, well, there's something. She's changed. I said, isn't that something? That's really something. She was okay last month, and you're the one that fasts, and she changes? It's not her. You've uncovered something. It's you. But to tell you then, when you break through and start succeeding from fasting, it's a tremendous thing. The flesh to lose control of you. But you can pray as much as you want. And when I say that, I'm saying the times that you can pray. I'm not saying because a job stopped you or something. I had all that stuff. In fact, I preached so much 6-7 years ago. I went lifetime gold on just American Airlines alone. You had to have 1,000,000 miles to make it. That 1,000,000 miles on American Airlines, not counting what I had with the other airlines that gave me some favor. So to meet myself coming and to close a meeting and open it, and sometimes twice a day, even more. So there'd be times that I didn't even have time to do anything. So I've faced about everything. But yet, when the flesh gets positioned, Christ be in you. He said it, the body's dead because of sin or because of what it inherited from the first hand Adam. That because you're born again, the spirit is life, L-I-F-E, not alive. He said it's entered into the seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus life. But positionally, your body's been declared dead. Positionally, your spirit is seated with Him. So you're enforcing a position you already have when you fast. Was this declaration positionally dead? It does not have the power to dominate your born-again spirit. You have the power to dominate it. And this is what fasting does. It positions it in a place that's already been prepared. Well, why did you open up to the worship chapter? I think that one of the things that helped me go through the worst of it was worship. Now, I heard Gary teaching, and he was talking about that time I got submerged deeply in rest and peace, and it started manifesting live in the services. He was talking about that time. And that time was earmarked a lockup I had done. They rented a room for me and I went and locked myself in it. And it seems like at that time, the devil knew that a breakthrough was coming and all the forces of hell. In other words, history's just full of people that's went that way before. There's nowhere we've made it that somebody else hasn't went before us sometime. So the devil's had a map to study. He said, all right, when they get there and they're doing this, we've got to do this now. And he's developed that. I mean, he's been quite successful at studying us and then coming up with some kind of form of religion, usually to counteract it. So he can't afford to let us go where we're going. They've seen people go this way before, but you know what? That's just too bad, isn't it? That's just too bad, because we're going to go anyway. So he knew that I was getting to some kind of milestone concerning God's presence. He knew that. And so we get this room like usual, but this time it seemed like a presence showed up in the room that resisted me head and toe. I mean, everything I knew I threw against it, and it resisted me day after day after day. But I wouldn't stop, because that part of the flesh that he was trying to rekindle, I had already dealt with it, so he could not make me stop, nor could he run me out of the room. I just stayed in there and plowed. I mean, I never spent such a time that it was so dry. And you know what? He tried to convince me that he wasn't there. That's a, how would you call it, a bald-faced lie. That's my generation. And you know, it wasn't long after that that I remember laying on that bed with my arms up, and I was worshiping God against the stream. For the devil to try to tell me he wasn't there, he could just, he might as well have just left on the first day. You know what Jesus went through when he cried on the cross? What an indictment. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We had to. He was up there in your place. He had to. You know why? Because as your substitute, I don't care what your lying emotions say, he'll never forsake you. They can lie to you all day long and he's still there. You have got to know that. He can't. He can't forsake you. Can't. But I can remember it. Something came over me. I jumped up off that bed and lifted my hands up. And I went to about a 45. It's just like this with my hands up. But a 45 just laying out that way. And I put my hands down and I came up. And I threw them back up and I went down this way. And I'm going, whoa. It's like electricity filled the room. I remember right after that when Gary's friends came and called him out over here. And he was standing there and I walked up to him. And I put my hands up like that. And he goes, what's pushing on me? Well, I loved the worship because the worship seemed to help me sustain some of the worst parts. And victory came much, much quicker over the flesh when I coupled it with the victory that helped my senses and helped my emotions stay in there for however long it took, the duration. And the fight with worshiping was a whole lot shorter than the fight with my flesh when I was trying to bring it under ascendancy. And I really don't care. You know, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I don't care. He's paid for it. We're going to hand Tulsa up to him whether the devil likes it or not. Hallelujah. Okay, so what I wanted to talk to you about, if you're going to continue in this series fasting, which is you just decide maybe you'll fast a couple of days and then eat a day and fast a couple and eat. Or maybe you'll fast a day and eat a day. Or maybe you'll just go a couple of days and wait and know that you're going to go a couple more again and again. But to just be open to continue. He wants to do something. In fact, if it would have been up to him, it would have already been done. But unfortunately, I got to thinking, God, if we're the best you have to use in town to do this, then the churches are in bad condition. He's not happy with just babysitting a crowd through to heaven. Although it's acceptable and we know it's good in God and all of that. And he don't want just to babysit. He wants the primary objective out there, which is why he died. You think I'm going to get so wrapped up in my problems and I'm not going to fill the commission he gave me? Hallelujah. So why don't we look at this just a little bit, how that it deals with the senses. Because he's really, really set on this. Because I can tell it is a pretty major key coming up here. And he can use us in unity and as one body. So please listen. Please listen as we go further into this year. And obey, walk close as you can. Yes? Yes. Okay, now take this. Now take this about worship, because it'll save you longer fights. Yes? So follow me closely in this. I just love these verses. I'm glad he's having me do this. Beginning with the 5th chapter. And how about 17th verse? I kind of like that one. I like this. Wherefore, being you not unwise. What would be the opposite of that wise? Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And of course, then he tells you how. Speaking to who? Who? Speaking to who? You mean when I'm worshiping God, I'm ministering to myself? Speaking to who? Yourselves. In psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. At notice 20, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for what? Said, all things. Oh, okay. All right. Car wrecks. Disease. How many remembers that doctrine that came forward? Praise God for everything.
You mean for diseases and car wrecks and things?
Oh, yes. He has an ultimate purpose and all that. Wrong. Then what did he say here? Give thanks for all things. You don't have to go back very far to find out why he said that. Verse 17. Wherefore be you not unwise, but doing what? Understanding what his will is. And then giving thanks for that which is contained in his will. So who am I ministering to again? Speaking to yourself. Yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And obviously, this is how. I don't get drunk on wine in excess. But then again, I'm supposed to get an excess, or basically drunk on the Spirit in excess. And I don't know how many years the revelation in that was hid from me, because when I would go into the Spirit sometime, my senses would get numb, and somehow he'd numb me down to where I was receiving more from the Spirit than I was the natural. And even though there was a commotion around, I was kind of submerged in the Spirit. So a lot of times people would say, well, he's drunk on the Spirit. So I thought that was exactly probably what that meant. So he said, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but nevertheless, hold on a minute. Jishuwada Mokwetin Shiva Dorita Bekwa Itistinamale Poetche Quoto Nike Stai Lokufustishomatone. He said, as I've told you, tell them. How? I don't know how to word that. He chido malefico about this. Neosodica. coming to a time the devil knows his time is short, that he would be enraged and his war would increase. So as you meditate on these things, remember, when I move you forward, I do it for a reason. For they'll not be the outpouring that I earnestly desire without causing. I don't know how to word that one either. You must go. Okay. We can't go on to this outpouring we're looking to without invoking another level of the war. So heed these instructions, for as you move forward, these will be a great, great blessing to you. Hallelujah. Okay. And back where we was at. So I'm not supposed to be drunk on wine where in excess, but the alternative was to be filled with the Spirit. So the instruction in that one verse is how. How you can be filled with Him in the way He was talking. By ministering to yourself. To yourself. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's one of my favorite confessions. Proclamation. You're not a man that you can lie. You exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your word abides forever. I have what I say. So I call myself dead, that I may separate to you all the glory and the praise and the honor. I operate in the fullness of your grace. And the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. I owe no man nothing but to love him. So what did he say? How? But be not drunk on wine, but then he gives instruction. How? But to be filled with the Spirit. How? Ministering to who? You mean when I begin to worship God, I'm ministering to me? You're not going to change Him. Ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for, so that somehow through that I'll be filled with the Spirit. When he showed me this verse, it opened up. I'd went to Oklahoma City for a passion play. I think some youth went up or something. Went with them. It was a good passion play because they had all the props. I mean, they'd spared nothing. Angels even flew on wires. And hell was hot. There's a real hell and it burned. Everybody had all their cues and sang good. And everything just went really good, except there really wasn't any anointing. So just a lot of talent, so a whole lot didn't happen from it. So going on the way back, I was meditating, thinking, what could a guy do to bring an anointing into something like that? So on the way back, he said, you could find out. You could, if you would just go home and worship me all night. And did you? No. Didn't want to find out that bad. It was a year later that I fell out under the power right here. I think I was maybe on the green circle. Somewhere in here. And he said, you don't know anything about worship. And then he started giving me instruction, which caused me to, when I went and locked myself up, and he even gave me the hours because he knew, stubborn as I was, that if I knew what he said it, that I would do it, I didn't care how hard that it was. So he gave me how long to worship, and so I no matter what came or went, I didn't care. I stayed in there. Now, some of you have been telling that I'm stubborn. I shocked myself by giving a lot of my testimony of how I was raised. You know, I checked with Donner a little bit. Some of the pieces I was missing came together, and I thought, boy, I didn't hardly know that. But what I was, it's just really stubborn. So I left home, basically. I lived with friends at 17 till I turned 18 and joined the Navy. Haven't been back since. But you talk about stubborn. That's what I was. You know, just about everything I took on was stubborn. When I went to a little mill town with nothing but a mill in it, and a store and a gas station, the way I got a job is by reporting for work every day at the mill. Did you work there? No. I reported every single day. Till one day the boss said, come here a minute. And he said, just stand here and I'll be right back. Well, he came back about noon, and that was about 6 in the morning. I was standing exactly in the same place. He walked by and saw me and goes, oh, I forgot. And he gave me a job because he forgot. Made one for me. Started with cleanup. Then I started taking everything over again. Same way with the ship. This is just a streak he uses. Thank God it didn't turn on me. I was chipping paint on a ship, even out at sea, and then painting over it what would rust. How exciting. I decided I didn't like it. Every day I'd report for a transfer and put in my chit. Every day until I wore them out. They said, when are you going to stop? It goes in the trash. I said, I'm not. Finally, when that opening came for ship servicemen, they did cooking, the laundry, the hobby shop. When I got back to the base, it was the bowling alley, lifeguard, the pool. So I had it really rough. I'd lay on an officer's laundry sack and snooze while the machine washed for an hour or two. Throw in the dryer and lay back down. We even chose our shifts. Me and another guy had it. And we'd take 2 days on and two off out at sea. So we'd be crossing the ocean. The guys would be getting up to report on duty. I said, could you guys be a little quiet? Quit waking me, please. Sleep till noon. So we get back, and I stationed at Point Magoo, island for a while. Had a lot of fun there. Then in Long Beach. But anyway, it was there when I got the chance to lifeguard, but I had to pass a test. And you know how stubborn I was. I wanted to pass. So, okay, the last item, hold your breath. We have to see how long you can hold your breath. That's, I'm not supposed to let it out. Yeah, hold it as long as you can. I said, okay. Next thing I know, this guy's leaning over me going, my God, man, you blacked out. I said, how long? He said, 4 minutes. Now, let's couple that together with God speaking to me where I knew he did. What do you think I survived the onslaught of the devil from praying in tongues? With nobody to go to, nobody to counsel me, no instruction, and no teaching. Yet all hell turned loose. Why do you think I stayed in? Because I know. I knew he wanted me to go pray like I worked. So day after day, no matter what happened, I'd go in to get groceries and charge again. They'd look at me real funny like, when are you going to pay this? I said, well, right now I'm pastoring that little church down there. Yeah, the problem was nobody was coming. Yes, I'll pay you. I'll pay you. He says, when? I said, I will. And I would not stop. I never will forget how he met my need that time around. Got a phone call and said, would you please want to come and help me in a meeting in Salem, Oregon? He's a guy that when he prayed for people, they fell down. I like that. I thought that was really something, so I went. What'd you do? I caught for him. Catcher. I'm catching and just, you know, having a time. And because I didn't have any money, so I was glad when somebody else was going. So they paid for the gas, but I didn't let them know. So I didn't have any money or nothing, but I caught people. And this guy come up and handed me a note. Then I just stuck it in my pocket because I was busy. And when I went in the bathroom, I thought, oh, and I got it out. And I'll be if it was in a check for $736. And this is 35 years ago. The next day when I walked over the little river bridge to bring it down to the bank, I mean, I can't describe to you how I felt. I went around that day and paid everything and gave $100 to the gospel and still had $300 left over. And that's from 3 months back, everything. So it was because of stubbornness that I survived the onslaught. Well, in the course of this, he gets to ask me things like, I want you to receive an outpouring in Tulsa, okay? Then I'm in the biggest meetings of my life in India, like 500,000 people and 200,000 getting saved. And the invitations that followed that I had to say, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's told me to go home to finish this. There's only two nations that's hands-on now. Japan is starting this year, I think. And Brazil. I had to come back home. Why? Because if there's anything he's banking on, it's the stubbornness. You have to understand, I'm not going to stop. That's why he could ask me, I am not going to stop. Said that to say this, I like being sustained without the war. I like fighting the short war and then having a good time. When he said, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Who? By ministering to myself. Who? Myself. And when I was coming back from Oklahoma City and I saw just a little spot vision for a moment of a rock landing in a pond, and I saw the ripples go to every little shoreline. And the first ripple, and I started understanding it. The first ripple was my spirit was full of the worship. And the second ripple was the baptism of the soul and the emotions that go along with it. And the third little ripple, it was the geographical location. In other words, the present can get so overpowering that would overflow even in the geography of where you was. And how many remembers when we experienced that outpouring? How many was here for that and bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled like Gary was talking? So, I saw those three. First the spirit, then the soul, and then the body. And it says, well, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit by ministering to who? Myself. So when I saw that little vision, and a year later, when he told me how much time he wanted me to spend, he knew I'd do it. I just have to know that it's him. That's all. So I went in and began. So what does he mean by be not drunk on wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit? What happens? What really, really begins to happen inside? I mean, really. It's interesting. How many knows when Wally Cox gets drunk? He'll go in a bar and he thinks he can whip Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of the bar. And why does he think he can whip him? Because he's not evaluating things in the light they exist in. Why? Because his senses have been impaired by alcohol. He thinks he can whip him. But I tell you what, not evaluating things in the light they exist in, he's going to wake up to a rude awakening. Well, how does that work in the spirit? My senses would become so baptized. My emotions, my senses. You talk about partnering with fasting. When I broke into this, it took half the fight away. Because when the baptism of the senses began to take place, it was like, okay, I know that's a mountain, but I can't seem to evaluate them in the light it exists in. My senses must be impaired. Yeah, for some reason, I'm drunk enough to think that me and God can go over and move the mountain. It doesn't bother me anymore. Why? Because my senses are starting to get baptized in the Spirit. When I look at a problem that says, you can't win, I say, oh yeah, I can win. I'm Wally Cox. Because I'm not evaluating things in the light they exist in the natural, but I'm evaluating them in the light they exist in with God. And it feels good.
Well, if you were going to break into private worship, what would you follow?
Oh, if I was you, I'd put an hour aside at least to start. How many understands that move that went through with, let's put it this way, gold dust, stuff like that? How many familiar with that way we wrote about? And it was our job, wasn't it? It was our job. But anyway, they preached all over about a quiet place. You know, that a quiet place, and they say, oh, he don't even know about that quiet place. Oh, yeah, I know about the real one. I'd be drinking a cup of tea, and I'd go get it, and it'd be hot. I'd go get a blistering cup of hot tea, and I'd go, and start praying. Oh, Father, I worship you, glorify you, praise and magnify you. Helped your throat, you know. Sometimes I'd get lost. And I'd reach over to get my hot tea and it was cold and I don't know where the time went. But I said that to say this. When they preached about a quiet place, one scripture they used was the book of Acts when they were filled. And it had to do with them receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not an existing quiet place. But the same people that taught on the quiet place and taught it. How should I say this? They tried praying in tongues. They tried worshiping and they found out that wasn't effective. So they just laid there and tried to suspend themselves in God and they called it a quiet place. What? Soaking. Soaking, and there's nothing wrong with soaking in His presence. But there is a quiet place. There really is. I mean, not one where everything happens to you that happened. But there is a quiet place in it. And it took me a while in the worship. And for a while I tried to train my mind because it would wander around and go up the street and I was sitting there saying, I love you and I worship you and I praise you, and my mind would go on a little trip. So I discovered that I went on the trip and I said to myself, I'm going to pull that thing back and try to focus it on Him. So I'd pull it back and the next few minutes I'd be going down another street. And I'd pull it back and I spent a lot of time pulling it back. But I came in ahead of schedule because eventually I got where I could just lay there. And that is when I started entering into what you would classify a quiet place. Because my mind wasn't looking to go anywhere. The presence was so there that it was so enjoyable that I wanted to stay right in it. But teaching the guys, our preachers and things, and they went their way to break into private worship. They found out that even if their mind wandered, they didn't try to control it. And they come back and told me this, but I went and fought in anyway by bringing it back and controlling my mind purposely. But they just went ahead and kept worshiping like they were mindless. While their mind wandered around solving problems, doing this, they just kept telling God how much they loved Him. Well, you know what took place there then is the law of confession. But you can't say something enough that eventually you won't began to believe it yourself. Every one of them eventually. Every one of them came around finally. Finally to the place where they could worship Him. And still, I mean, not go on those side trips just by not quitting the language of worship. And so me, you know, I didn't do that. I just fought my way in. But when I found out that that law of confession would take place, and eventually they ended up believing it. And that's basically the way we're built. Now tell me something about your soul. I've offered mine on the altar of God's Word. I know how to do that. That's where the assimilation and read it 30 times and all those messages come from. Tell me, how come you can't read a paragraph and then look up at me and quote it? Some can, because they got photographic memories. Adam must have had all the original equipment. But now think, most of us can't. We've lost about 800 years off our life. So we can't. How come you can't read a paragraph and close the book and basically it? Most people can't. I can't. And then look up and quote it, comma for comma, word for word. But then if you read it several times and start taking note, you can do it. If you could do it after reading it several times, that means you had the capacity, so why couldn't you do it the first time? What is it? What happens in there? If I really wanted to offer my soul on the altar of God's Word, would I use those principles? Yes. Yes. This is why we'll have you take a book. Start with the smaller ones. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Start with the smaller ones. And assimilate the book. In other words, make it a point to read it 30 times. First, if there's a word you don't understand, look that up. Make sure you understand the words. That's first. But don't try to stop and break verses down yet. Because the same thing's going to happen as when you memorize the paragraph. These sections of meanings are going to come together. And this one will cause you to understand this one. And this verse triggers this one over here until finally the mind of Christ comes forward in the book. And not only will you find that in one book, then the mind of Christ comes forward in the other books and you find out they agree. This is the way your mind works, and if you want, you can harness it. So I'll tell you again. When it comes to fasting, worship is a powerful tool to sustain yourself during the onslaughts of the flesh. And once you break in, it's much, much easier fasting in the future and you working with God bring that flesh under ascendancy. I believe there's a great outpouring come. Have you had your wars? Oh, have I? I've heard Him say, I'm going to kill you. And I told Him, if you could, I'd already be dead. So shut up. Yes. But I think He needs somebody stubborn to see anything through. And I'm going there. It's been 20 years. You think I care? I watched a bunch of kids grow up around here. So what? I don't care. I got it from a good source. If I do this for Him. In the last 5 years of ministry, I'll have seen more than an entire lifetime stand where I am. Whew. So how about praying in tongues? Ooh, I can do that. My mind is assimilating. I can do that when I'm working under my breath. I can do that anytime. Why? Because I'm not in charge of what I'm saying. God is so smart, He left you out of it so He could do your praying for you. Because He knows what's best for you. I mean, how smart is He anyway? He fixed it where you have to really work on failure. So I don't know what to pray, so I do, so just shut up and pray. But I don't know what you're saying. That's a plus for you at this point. So he that searches the heart knows what the whole mind, which is God's will for you now and his entire plan of the Spirit, and enables him, because he knows it concerning you as an individual, to make intercession for you according to the will of God. And then you can know that he'll turn all things together for the good until you walk down that path of victory and revival. Hallelujah.
Well, Brother Roberson, I can't pray in tongues.
What a shame. A golden key. A majesty. An incredible. And God evaluates you and says, I'll just create this prayer in you, but since my Spirit prayeth, it'll really be you and your authority doing the praying. I'll just supply my plan. You'll pray it out and I'll answer it.
Well, I can't speak with tongues.
That's because you're not on that green line. So how many's going to fast a little more than you used to? How about worship? A little more than you used to? How about offer that old soul on the altar of God's word a little more than you used to? Come on. That's how it works. Does a kid climb out on a missionary airplane wing at 5 years old and stand up and make proclamations?
I will learn the language of this country.
No. He doesn't have to do that. Why? Because every attribute of the soul will reach out and assimilate the language. He don't even have to try. The mind, the will, the intellect, the emotion. Most of our problem, we want to learn something new. We employ one attribute, the intellect, and there's three more lying in the wing just begging to transform you. Find out how to employ them. They're yours. So you can't speak with tongues and you want to. Come up here. Come on. See, the same thing goes into operation. You can't call yourself healed 1,000 times a day for any amount of time. Then eventually you're going to end up believing it. You assimilate it. You believe it. Mind, will, intellect, emotion will reach out. Make it part of you. You're here and you can't speak with tongues. Come. Come up here now. You got somebody with you, you know. Bring them on up. It's okay. And if you're believing for anything else, he's here. Tell him. Tell him and he'll flow. He said, when I'm here in this kind of presence to minister multiply, he says, all that I am is available. He says, from workings of miracles, gifts of healings, na 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 na. So you just tell him what you want. And if he's here like that, which he wouldn't say he was, if he wasn't, that he'll just, he'll flow into your agreement. And do what he does, which is take that substance of faith from grace, make an adjustment in you and bring whatever to pass. So this part's very important. You get this out clearly in your heart. Now you want to know this in the future. Get it out very clearly in your heart so you can know. I mean, there can be other things, but your main thing, get it out in your heart and get ready for when we lay hands on you so you'll know when it comes to pass. Hallelujah, Jesus. For I will speak with the Spirit and I will speak with the understanding also. For many of you have been praying in some seasonal, And you've edified yourself and prayed you to places. And at times, when you're close, I use my grace. That's the standing I gave to you. Sometimes, when you're close, and you prayed some things through in your seasons of edification, that I'm able to move, and sometimes move it forward, sometimes come in on it then, sometimes catch it up. But this brings you closer to your heart's call to bring to pass what I've commissioned you for. All right, crowd, if you'll bear with me just in about 10 minutes, I'll let you go. If you'll pray under your breath with me.